He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Verse 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. We find that we're talking about tonight a positioned church. God has a church that is positioned. We know it's on the rock, but there's something about what is happening in this scripture. I want you to pray with me tonight that God would minister. Lord, have your will through your word tonight. Thank you for what you're going to do in this little time together. We praise you, Lord. We worship you. We bless your name. Thank you for the purpose and the victory that you've given us. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do this evening in our lives. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to just first of all let you know that when you try to go on with God in life, the world will oppose you. There's going to be opposition, right? But the scripture said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And when you try to go deeper in God, your fleshly nature will resist you. We have that happen. And when you try to go up higher in God, the demonic principalities and powers of the air will fight you. In a time that you try to advance and upgrade your relationship with God, there will be a fight. Because the devil don't want to lose territory. He wants you to stay in a non-threatened manner to him. But the biggest threat that the enemy has is for you to rise up and advance and begin to rise up in faith. Because when you do that, you become one that is a threat against him. And I thank for the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, when you're too old to learn, you're too foolish to live. And if you don't make up your mind to live for God, the devil will make it up for you. Let me just say that. And a life lived right is a life worth living. And once a person stops listening, they got to learn by consequences. I don't want to learn by consequences. I want to learn by listening to the word of the Lord and learning and gleaning from the word of the Lord. There's a lot of people have to learn by consequences. The consequences of failure to obey. The consequences of not putting things in order. But how beautiful and how wonderful when you learn to just simply obey. When you learn to just let God have his way in your life. Man's two greatest enemies we're going to talk about tonight. Fear of the past and fear of the future. Fear of the past and fear of the future. And the devil don't make choices for us. He only makes suggestions if you really look at it. The devil works from the outside, but I'm thankful that the Holy Ghost works from the inside out. Amen. And the enemy will grind on you and work on you. And he likes to work from the outside in. And you start putting things from the world inside of your brain. And he starts working. And once he gets from the outside in, things begin to work and contaminate your attitude, your spirit, your character. But I'm thankful that even the worst of the worst, when the Holy Ghost comes in, the Holy Ghost will work from the inside out. That's the reason why, folks, amen, we just can't have the outside look, amen, and not an inside relationship with God. Amen. Holiness is not what you put on, it's what you put out. Praise God. And if you live right, you're going to die right. There's a lot of people worried how they die. Well, if you want to die right, you got to live right. Amen. You know, the world is nearest to hell a saint will ever know. The world is nearest to hell that a saint will ever know. And the world is nearest to heaven that a sinner will ever know. Why is that? Because God has given us this space of time and space and opportunity to know him. You know, the devil's past is his best and his future is his worst. Let me just say this. The devil at one time had a position. But folks, he hates the book of Genesis and he hates the book of Revelation because it reveals him. It reveals what he did and it reveals where he's going. Amen. Our past is worse and our future is our best because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But tonight I want to get to that place of our lesson. And we want to talk about the church being positioned, how God positions us. When I speak of the church, please don't look at a building in your brain. But I want you to look at a mighty army of people that God has chosen. The church of the living God is made up of not people that had it all together. Even when Jesus chose his disciples, he didn't get the professor that was standing up there that knew everything. He didn't get the rich man who had everything. He didn't get the people around that, you know, thought they knew it all. But he went and got somebody that was just a nobody, somebody that didn't have things together, who had to juggle life and try to find meaning in life. He finds simple fishermen. He finds simple people. But yet when he took these common everyday people that normally anybody wouldn't put on their team, he found people just like you to include on his team. But when he did, he put some things in them. And later he filled them with the Holy Ghost. And these became the people that took the gospel all around the world. Are you thankful that God has a place for you? He has a position for you. The church, number one, when he positions a church, again, don't look at that as a building, but look at it as people. Their position, first of all, the Bible says on the rock. On this rock, I'm going to build my church. I'm thankful that I'm positioned on something that is better and bigger and greater than I. Amen. Greater than I. You think about you by yourself. What do you have? What do you have to offer God? We have nothing to offer God. But look what God has to offer us. God has more than just the feelings here. God has more than just a blessing plan on earth where he blesses you. God does that. But God has eternal life instead of damnation. What a mighty God we serve that he positions us on something that is bigger than us and greater than us and more abundantly than us. The next thing he positions the church is in theology. Amen. He positions us that we can know his word and know his plan. You see, it's wonderful to know the word of God. And there are some people that go to church and they go to a church and they really don't know anything about God because it's just a social club. It's just somewhere you just go and check in and greet everybody and you're welcome to come in and, I mean, shake everybody's hand. But I want to tell you, I want to know God. I want to know his word. I want to know the things of God. I want to be one that can be taught about God and what God desires, what God loves, and who God is. It's a blessing to have theology, the study of God, and to know him and to find him. When I read my Bible, how amazing. I may have read Psalm 23 all my life, but oh, the great treasures that I find when I open my Bible and I begin to search and find that the God of the book will show up and God will minister to me and reveal to me things that I've never seen before in his word. But you got to seek God. You got to apply. You got to look. You got to put his word in your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee, O God. Theology. Even there's something about people that love the word of God, that love preaching of the word of God. I love it whenever God gets a hold of me. I don't know about you. I want God to hit me. I want the preaching of the word to hit its mark in my soul. There's some people don't want that. They just leave me alone, preacher. But I want to say tonight, God, don't leave me alone. Amen. God, whatever it takes, get a hold of my heart. Is that your desire and aspiration when you come to the house of God? If I'm out of shape, shaping me up. If I'm dull, sharpen me up. God, above all else, I got to be saved. Amen. Position in theology. Amen. We're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Understanding comes when God's light is turned on in your life. I'm thankful for the light of the word of the Lord, how there is a sacred reason why we do what we do. There's a lot of people do it because they just don't know why. It's just a tradition. The priest said you had to do this. The nun said you had to do this. Or, you know, father, the father with the little collar says you got to do this. Or hey, grandma's religion said this. I want to tell you, you will not get to heaven off of somebody else's religion. It's got to be your relationship with God. Amen. But how wonderful when you find that relationship, that intimacy with the Almighty God in your life, and God begins to meet you there. You see, when you begin to seek God with a whole heart, the God of heaven begins to reach to those that seek him, and he will meet you in his word. He would guide you in his word. Thy word is a lamp under my feet. And what? Woo, are you thankful for those days that God lights it up for you? Amen. God allows you to see things. There's a foundation not only of just knowing who God is and knowing about God, but there is a sacred reason for your faith. There's a sacred reason why I live the way I live. Amen. Or the purpose why I do what I do and I don't do things. You see, God begins to give you a boundary in your life. Sister Hope, Brother Hope, he'll give you something that you say, I'm not going there no more. Why? Because I have a purpose. I have a reason. Amen. I love it because God develops that inside of us. Amen. That sense of direction, that sense of identity, that sense of knowledge that I'm not going there. I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to partake of that. I'm not going to be one that allows myself to begin to be entangled with that. But I'm thankful that the God of heaven gives us power to live. Power to live. He establishes us on that rock. So the church is founding on that. Not only that, but the foundation of the church of the living God is monotheism. Monotheism means we believe that there's just one God. It's primary. He's absolute one. It's not a multiplicity of persons forming some kind of mystical oneness that the world talks about. But he's numerically one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And it don't say, and them only, it said, and him only. Somebody say amen. Amen. Him only shall you serve. Have you ever thought about it? I've often asked the question to people, who do you pray to? You pray to your number one God, to pray to your number two God, your number three God? How do you go on? I'm thankful tonight there's not three, there's not two, but there's one God. There's not five. But the one true God, we know that there's one. But more than we know that singular and numerically he's one, but positionally, we know that he has to be number one in your life. God has to be number one for there to be true monotheism in your soul. When there's true oneness with you and God and he's number one, things will come to pass. God positions those that make him number one. You know, I often ask people, where is God on your list? Where is God on your list? Are you available for God? We talked about that today, didn't we, Brother Corbett? Are you available? Are you available for God? Or are you had to say, well, God, you're on my list, but I have other things in my life. Does God have your attention? What does God do? There's things have to happen to get your attention? Does God have to have something drastic happen in your life before you finally say, okay, God, what's going on? Or can God just work with your heart? Can speak to your heart? Can you seek after the plan of God? Can you be guided by his eye? I love it because I went to a restaurant one time with Brother Lloyd Squires. I mean, remember the King's Clown, Brother Squires, was in St. Louis. And in that particular restaurant, I can remember very well, that when we walked in the door, everybody, woo! They got excited because they knew Brother Squires. And in this particular Italian restaurant, the waiter never left the table. He would stand by the table and he would stand upright, and you either ordered meatballs and spaghetti or what mama cooked in the kitchen. There was no menu. This was a fine restaurant. In fact, it looked like an old rundown building, but in the parking lot was huge black Bentleys and large cars. I mean, were these wealthy people. And Brother Squires got to point out, he said, you see that man over there? He's the CEO for Nestle's. That one's Anheuser-Busch. And this one right here is the owner of the Los Angeles Rams. And we was in this fine restaurant. And the waiter would stand there at our table. And when you took three sips of your glass of tea, man, he filled it up. And whenever you needed something on your plate, he would say, would you care for some more? You need some more bread. He never left your table. He would look, and there was a man positioned at the door of the kitchen. And he would just look. Never said anything. And the guy by the door knew exactly by the look of this waiter what to go get. And he would bring it to the waiter, and the waiter would put it on your plate. And I looked at Brother Squires, and he had these big, luscious meatballs. And the waiter, I thought, man, all right, we prayed. It's time to dig in. The waiter reached over there, Brother Squires, to help back. And he took a fork and a knife, and he cut those meatballs from. He cut that spaghetti up in his plate. And, man, and he stirred it all up. And I'm going, I've never seen that happen. And Brother Squires said, that's the way they do it here. They worked. They tried to help. I'm thankful that I have a God that is on tune, even to know your needs before you even put your hand to even out. God is already doing it. And God is able to use those that are willing to be to have their eyes on him. Amen. And can God, just with his eye, just with his direction, just with that invisible force of his glory, direct your life? Or does it take God saying, you better sit down, boy? Does God have to pull the switch out? Some people have to learn by consequences, but I want to learn by the simple pleasures of God. I want to learn just by the simple will of God. Amen. That he could guide me supposedly or with his eye. I want it to be that way. How about you? Position in theology. That God is the center of my life. Next thing, we're positioned by relationship on the rock. Church is positioned by relationship. This is one of the foundational things of living for God. Again, it's more than church going. It's more than a structured place where I come and I say, well, I'm a member of this church. I shake hands with somebody, repeat this prayer, sign this little card, and I become a vote member. No, I'm going to tell you, in the kingdom of God, amen, it's all by relationship. You have to have a relationship with the Almighty God. It's more than an experience. How would you like this couple to get married? And they had such a beautiful wedding, and they pronounced a man and wife, and they kissed, and you know, husband went home to mama, bride went home to mama, and they lived in different places, and they never were together. That wouldn't be a wedding. That would be just a ceremony. But I love it whenever that groom, he realizes, this is mine. And he picks her up and takes her across the threshold and spins her around and said, I got you now. Amen. Are you thankful that God picked you up? Amen. God says, I got you. Amen. Oh, friend, I'm thankful that I belong to him. The Lord is, I am his and he is mine. And his banner over me is love. I'm thankful for that position place that I am his through relationship. But it all started with a new birth. When God filled me with the Holy Ghost, when I was born of the water and of the Spirit, how beautiful it is when somebody's born of the water. Today we put some people in that water and we baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ. How wonderful to see the difference in their faces. Amen. Women, I think it was six women today. And a bunch of guys, even were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, amen, you're born into this. Amen, you don't join it. Amen, you're not inducted amen, through means of a secret society. But, oh, friend, when you have the Holy Ghost born in your life, when there's a birth, God found you and positions you in his family. He positions you by his side as his bride. Amen. You ought to thank the Lord that he positioned you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you tonight, God, for putting me there. Amen. The next thing, he positions by purpose. It's amazing how God puts a purpose in our life. We have a reason to be upon the rock. The rock is something under us and helps us and establishes us. And I want you to understand that God is one that will lift you up above every storm. God will lift you up above everything in your life. And he puts you there for a purpose that you could let his light shine. The purpose of the church is to know God and to make him known. How wonderful it is when you know your purpose in God. You know your position in God. You know your place in God. But there's some people that has never reached out. That's never doing the work of God's purpose in their life. God wants his church to be the light in this old dark world. Yes, he does. He wants you to be something for him and nothing for yourself. But he'll make you something when he is everything in your life. How beautiful. Amen. Our mission is to be the blessing, amen, and existing and executing his mission to reach and let our light shine. We are to evangelize. The word evangelize is to take this gospel seed and put it out there and to water it and to help people. Amen. And go and reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is whenever you have a part in that. There's an excitement brewing in our congregation. And there are people that are, for the first time in their life, engaging into teaching people and reaching people. Not only that, but the Lord has called the church to make disciples. You hear me? He didn't say go out there and get a big crowd, pass out church cards and all that, but he said go make disciples. Disciple making is not a fast deal. It's a gradual deal. Well, you got to work with people. And as a graduate, I don't know about you, I want you to find somebody in your life that you look at them as being your mission. You are the missionary to your world. If you were a missionary to a foreign country, what would you be doing? Would you just be living in your house and coming to this church and leaving the church and going back to your house? Or would you live differently? Well, Brother Crosswell, you're the missionary. You're the pastor of this church. No, I'm your pastor. Sheep begat sheep. God has called you to be the missionary. God has called you to take this gospel. Don't miss your mission. Don't miss your purpose. I mean, the reason why so many people backslide is because they're not activating their purpose in God. God positions the church with a purpose to reach, to establish, and to make disciples, and to represent him, amen, in his absence on earth. Amen. He may not be here in physical being, but he's here in the church. Amen. He's God in us. He's Christ in us, the hope of glory. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, we are his ambassadors. I want to be an ambassador. I have a heavenly citizenship, but I represent the King of Kings on this earth. Somebody say amen. The next thing, final position that the church is, we're positioned in opposition to hell. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let's just talk about that. The church stands for what is pure, honest, what is redemptive, life-giving. While hell stands for evil, dishonesty, destruction, death, but the church is in an hour of conflict where the forces of hell wants to steal, kill, and destroy their strong opposition. But friend, the opposition can't hurt those that are positioned on the rock of God. You keep yourself positioned and you know your place in God. God will give you a victory. You know, hell has a negative contrast. I'm telling you, this world's getting dark, isn't it? This world's getting full of sin. We're living an hour where it's gross darkness. Things are happening. You know, just this week, last Sunday, in church in Houston, somebody shot somebody. I mean, crazy. parade in Kansas. People were shot there. People don't care. They'll steal from their mama. They throw little grandmas in a dumpster, tying her up, killing her, whatever. They don't care anymore. The lack of concern has intensified. People that live in this great nation that you bless and you feed, your taxpayers, give them food and give them the ability to buy things and shelter their lives and give them a place to live where they don't have to pay. Some of them never work a lick, but yet they're the ones that will burn a flag. There was the ones that protest. They were the ones to bust down the windows of a business and just as a flash mob steal everything there. We're living in a sick generation. They'll protest. You know, it's crazy because I read something the other day about a group of protesters that were protesting against Israel raiding Gaza. And they were talking about, you know, how wicked Israel is because they're doing this. Well, this group of protesters, if they lived in Palestine, these homosexuals, if they lived over there, they would have been killed. Because these Muslims don't put up with it. These thieves that are breaking in that are trying to protest, if you get caught over there stealing, they cut your hand off first, next to your head off. They really don't know what they're talking about. It's kind of like the basketball player. You know, she took a knee at that place to the national anthem. I guarantee you, after the United States delivered her, went, got her out of the Russian prison, I wonder if she bows her knee now. You see, hell's work is making this generation dark. I mean, it's nasty. We live in a nasty world, a filthy world, a lying, deceiving world, a selfish world. But in the midst of it, God has a pearl called the Church of the Living God. Even in an amazing, I don't care how dark it is, how beautiful the light is in old dark night. And I can remember some time ago going down a real dark road. And we were traveling somewhere. It was so dark. There was no street lights. We were way back in the middle of nowhere. We turned a little curve, and there was a house there that was lit up. I mean, talking about a beautiful house. It was lit up. I'm telling you, it had lights all around it. And I'm going, wow, look how beautiful it is. I believe that the beauty of God's church is that we got our light on. We have our light on today. We're founded on the rock, and the light of God is bright in our life. Even this whole world may be dark, but I want to tell you, what penetrates the dark is the light of the Holy Ghost in your life. I want to tell somebody tonight, be encouraged. You're going to be the only person probably that knows the way to God in somebody's life. Let your light shine. Somebody needs to keep the light on for those souls. Man, it's beautiful to watch God's work in a world that is negative. The Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. It's not going to work when you're founded on the rock. When you're living right. You have that relationship. God's number one. And you know your purpose. Amen. There's something about the aggressive posture of the church that when the gates of hell comes against you, they can't hold you back. I used to see that scripture. It's in a little bitty white country church and some big old gates. It's like these gates were squashing that church. That's not what that means. The gates of hell shall not prevail is this. I see that church reaching and pushing against the gates that's trying to restrict it, and the gates flying off the hinges. Amen. I want to tell somebody that's the way we ought to be. We ought to be the aggressive people that says, hell, you're not taking my son, my daughter, my neighbor, my nephew, my niece, my grandbabies. God is looking for somebody in this hour to be positioned. We looked in the eyes of people today, men and women, that are in prison or going to prison, going to jail. One young man, he lives in the neighborhood of somebody in this building, just a few houses down from you. And I'm not going to point him out, but this young man, when I looked at his charges, There was a page, I promise you, of charges all the way through this young man's, under his name and his booking. And the day when I pulled him and I started teaching him a Bible study, this is my second time to teach him, he looked at me and he said, I ain't even got started good. He said, Pastor, is the day that you get to baptize me in Jesus' name? And it's been 5 weeks ago today since I taught him his first Bible study. And he asked me that with tears rolling down his face. Is today going to be that day you baptize me in Jesus' name? And I had the privilege of saying, today you're going to be baptized in Jesus' name. I want to tell you, this man may spend, 27, 28-year-old man, may spend the rest of his life in a penitentiary. He's got a little 2-year-old girl out there. His wife is raising her, and things are happening in his life. His family picture's messed up. But I want to tell somebody that today God did a mighty work in his life. Amen. Oh, the gates of hell thought, oh, we could hold him back. But the hand of the Almighty God reached and knocked some things down. Are you thankful for the hope that God gives? Person after person today in there for drugs. Meth. I had the privilege of visiting another young man one-on-one today while they was having a service. Brother Zach, Brother Jess and them were having a service, and I pulled him into a Bible study, this young man. And he looked at me, his eyes, he started crying. He said, I have no reason to live. I have no purpose to live. And I said, but man, you have all the opportunity in the world for God to prove himself to you today. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, in July, your younger brother walked in our church and God filled Guillermo, Will, with the Holy Ghost. If God could do it for Will and delivered him from drugs, God could do it for you today. And he looked at me and he said, really? He said, I need something to happen in my life. Amen. Oh, friend, I want to tell somebody, amen, there's nothing like when you're positioned and God gives you the ability to say, gates of hell, you're not going to have him anymore. How many of you have a loved one that needs the Holy Ghost right now? You have a family member that needs the help of God. You need to say in your heart, hell, you can't have my babies. You can't have my neighbor. You can't have my daughter. Position on the rock of ages, eternal things. My Lord, I want you to start praying when you pray. Brother CJ, every morning when I pray, your name is on our list here at our church. On our phone and our apps. Many of us have the Elvonto app where we're able to text. We send a mass text. Every morning when I turn that on, there's names there. And the devil said the other day to me, CJ, you know, you just need to delete him off the list because he hadn't showed up. You know what I told the devil? No, I'm going to keep praying. Look at you tonight. That text, when I got it today that you was coming to the house of God, I rejoiced. Because this morning early when I called your name, I called it in faith and said, God, you know the key to that young man's heart. You know the key to that man's heart today. Amen. I want to tell God has a key, amen, to the hearts of people. Hell, you can't have them. Amen. I'm thankful for the glory of the Holy Ghost. A positioned church where God is number one. Amen. When God is everything to you, the gates of hell is nothing because we found him on a rock. Stand with me tonight. Boy, I don't know about you, but the devil likes to condemn, don't he? The devil likes to, and when I think of a house that is condemned, what do you think of? When I say, Brother Bourne, a house that's condemned, what do you think of? A house that's not fit for anybody to live in. What's the first thing? How do you recognize a house that's condemned? Anybody knows? They have a sign on it. Anybody else? Another good indication? What's that? Falling apart. Anything else? Yeah, they board up the windows and the doors, don't they? Well, the enemy likes to say, nah, we'll put my sign on it. I'm going to board it up and let everybody know it's a hopeless place, condemned. The enemy loves to condemn. Scripture says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. You ought to thank God today that he has a plan for your life and a purpose. Will you stretch your hands up right now and thank the Lord for this? Thank you, Lord, for your purpose in my life. Thank you for your grace, God, for my soul. Thank you for the beauty that you have in my old condemned, worthless, hopeless life. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. I love and I worship you, God. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for the beauty of your spirit. God, help me to keep encouraging your church. God, that they're positioned on your rock. Hallelujah. Thank you for that revelation. And thank you for that purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Young couple that I met, they pastor in San Antonio. I went to the conference in Tomball this last week. And Brother Slater, his name is Slater. I said, Brother Slater, what do you do? Do you work? He said, Brother Crossway. He said, I work for myself. He said, I am one that flips houses. You got to be a strong man to go flip a house. I mean, no, that's not what he meant. He'll go find a house that you may be degrading or in its value, and he and his wife buys it. They put their special twist on it, paint, flooring, and a little different decoration. And he looked at me and said, Brother Crosswhite, he said, in San Antonio, the house market is just booming. And he said, we've been able to flip houses. And he said, as a result, he said, God has given us favor. Every house that we have flipped, purchased, and bought, and remodeled, we have sold. And he said, we sold it just as soon as it was put on the market. I'm thankful today for the ability of God, that God is able to take somebody that was worthless, going down, and God says, let me do more than put paint on you. Let me put new life in you. Anybody's in Christ, he's a new creature. Are you thankful for that newness of the Holy Ghost? One more time, let's lift our hands. Thank you, Jesus, for it, Lord. I praise you and I magnify your beautiful name. Thank you for this truth, Jesus. Thank you for the triumphing power of being positioned with you. We love and we worship you. We thank you for your people, your church tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to go to heaven, Hal. God bless you. Would you this week help reach out to somebody? Do more than invite them to church. Connect to them. Amen. Don't let the gates of hell hold you back. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.